Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, December 10th, 2015. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, a green light has been given for drone assassination. How many more lives will be lost to unaccountability? Then, the FCC takeover of the internet and reactions to one of Trump's most controversial statements yet. That's next.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
Well, I'm going to say it here clear for everyone, because I actually agree with what Donald Trump has said. We do need to have a total and complete shutdown of everyone coming from a long list of nations who have not been properly vetted.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
We're going to talk about politics in just a moment, but before we do, let's talk about something that is real, that's really serious and dangerous. The New York Times reported today, and it was carried on the Drudge Report, psychiatric drugs are being prescribed to infants. That's right, to infants. Listen to this case they have. They start out with Andrew Rios's seizures began when he was 5 months old and only got worse. At 18 months, when an epilepsy medication resulted in violent behavior, a neurologist prescribed him with the antipsychotic Risperdal, a drug typically used to treat schizophrenia and bipolar disorder in adults, rarely used for children as young as five. Now, understand, this all began at the age of 5 months. Why did he begin to have epileptic seizures at 5 months? We have seen over and over again reports with the vaccine court that you're supposed to go to. You cannot sue the companies for adverse vaccine reactions, so you go to that court. We've seen over and over again there and elsewhere, these seizures are typically the result of an adverse reaction to vaccines. That's why we're seeing an explosion of this condition. And understand that this is why Texas is given the only exemption in Texas law to marijuana for medical marijuana use. The only exemption for medical marijuana use is for treating out-of-control epileptic seizures. It is about the only thing that controls epileptic seizures. But rather than admitting that in most cases, what the government will do, what the medical establishment will do, is to prescribe dangerous drugs that should never be given, even to adults, let alone to children. Now they go on and they continue with this story of Andrew Rios. They say, when he screamed in his sleep, when he seemed to interact with people and objects that were not there, his frightened mother researched Risperdal and discovered the drug was not approved for use with children. She said when they came to her, the doctor said, it was just like, take this. It's no big deal. It's like they were Tic Tacs. That's the way the government runs. Now, they point out that almost 20,000 prescriptions for risperidone, commonly known as Risperdal, and other antipsychotic medications were written in 2014 for children two and younger. Understand that. 20,000 prescriptions for these dangerous drugs for children two and under. It's a 50% jump from 1 year earlier. So they've increased this by 50% in just a year. This is the new trend. Even the New York Times is talking about this. Prescriptions for Prozac for children rose 23% in just 1 year to about 83,000 prescriptions. 83,000 prescriptions of Prozone to infants. This is insanity. This is the insanity of locking people up for using something that is safe and effective, like marijuana. This is the insanity of requiring vaccinations without our informed consent. Again, like she says, it's like they're handing out Tic Tacs. It's the same attitude that they have towards vaccinations. We just saw the California government, their state government, waive the prohibitions against using thimerosal, which is mercury, folks. They put thimerosal, mercury, in the vaccines and the flu vaccines. They just had the state government waive that prohibition, saying, well, it's more important that we get the flu vaccines out to people than that we are injecting mercury into adults and into children. They point out a dozen experts in child psychology and neurology said they had never heard of a child younger than three receiving such medication. They presumed the parents and the doctors, presumably desperate and well-meaning, were trying to alleviate thrashing temper tantrums. Thrashing temper tantrums, is that the way we handle our children now? We can no longer function as adults. And we can no longer function as children. We can no longer raise our own children because why would you be so concerned about temper tantrums? Well, they continue. The kind of temper tantrums that get children kicked out of daycare. We have split up the family so that most families have a single parent, so they have to use daycare. We've increased the taxes for the family so that most parents have, both parents have to work to make ends meet. And so daycare is the only thing that we can do with our children. We need to rethink this whole system. We need to rethink how we got here. We need to rethink the necessity of having a tax code. As I've pointed out many times before, it was Harry Brown that came up with the proposition. And of course, he did it at the times that he ran as for president as a libertarian. And he went back and he looked at the tax code and he said, how much income does the income tax contribute to our operating budget for the federal government? Okay, well, it's X percentage. What if we were to cut the expenditures of the federal government that amount of money? How far back would we have to go? And you know what it is today? We would have to go back to a government the size it was in 2004. Could you live with a government that was the size it was in 2004 so that you would have no income tax? No income tax. Zero income tax. How about that? How's that for a simple plan? How's that for a flat plan? How's that for a plan that is not regressive? Okay? A 0% income tax rate. Could you live with a government that was the size it was in 2004 so that we didn't have to force parents, both parents, to go to work and put their children in daycare? I think we could. Now, there's another story that's up on the Drudge Report today, and I think it's something that's relevant before we go into talking about Donald Trump. The sinking impact of mainstream media. And they point out on the Hill, they say, can there be any further doubt that we've now come to a time when the rightward half of the country receives much the mainstream media, big city newspapers, I think, they perceive that to be carriers of Democrat or left-leaning news and opinion. Of course they do. The media deny this, but their denials, indeed the very idea that the way to address this matter is to deny it or to contest it, change nothing. Now, of course, it's not just the left-stream media, okay? It is also Fox, and Fox has become dominant because, yes, it is true. It is true that the rest of the mainstream media goes to the left and covers the Democrats. So Fox does just the opposite on their TV broadcasts. They moved consciously to the right. But the issue is, and I think Fox has become just as obsequious to the right as the rest of the media is to the left. And so the question is, why have they lost their audiences? They've lost their audiences because they've lost their credibility. In many cases, what they try to do is Fox will say, they say, we report, you decide. That's the myth of objectivity. The very stories that you decide to report betray your worldview. And there's nothing wrong with having a worldview. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion. You should have some facts to back up that opinion. But we can have a situation where we have a debate between the William F. Buckleys and the Gore Vidals. We can have that kind of debate. We should have a lively debate. That kind of debate where people have strong opinions and they defend them with facts and with basis, that's precisely what makes our country healthy. That's why we need to have a free internet. That's why we do not need to shut the internet down, even portions of it, folks. When you censor the internet and you say, I'm doing it just a little bit, that's like saying, she's a little bit pregnant. Censorship is censorship. If you cannot in the free marketplace of ideas bring your ideas across, then you lose. It's just that simple. But you have to have freedom. You have to hold freedom above all things. So the reason they're losing credibility is because they're lying to people and lying to themselves in many cases, thinking that they're objective, but the very stories that they cover, not only the angles, but the stories that they cover themselves, betray their bias. And it's fine to have a bias. Just be honest about it. And we have to understand that the alternative media is going to lose its credibility as well if we sell our objectivity, if we sell our principles for access. We cannot do that. This election is offering many things to us. It's not really offering us a choice of presidential candidates. It's offering us other choices, though. The electorate is being offered choices from both the left and from the right, saying, will you give up your liberty for this, for money? Will you give it up for safety? Will you give it up for this? Will you give it up for that? That's where they come at you the entire time. And what they are trying to get from the public is their liberty. But what they're trying to get from journalists is their principles, their integrity. Will you give it up for access? And we have to say, no, we're not going to give it up for access. Now, what is it about Donald Trump that is resounding with people? Well, he is telling people he is addressing their felt needs in a way that Jeb Bush and others aren't. The story from Washington Post, Jeb Bush's super PAC is burning through money with little to show for it. He has spent $50 million of this massive war chest. He jumped up to over $100 million in these super PACs at the very beginning. And it was far more than his brother had spent in his entire campaign. Back in 2000, George W. was accused of buying the presidential campaign because he spent $100 million. It was the first time anybody had done that. And yet here we are. We haven't even got to the first primary yet. And Jeb Bush, his brother, has burned through $50 million in a record blitz. And it is a record blitz. Yes, they are trying to buy the election. But the reason that his support is shrinking, just like his war chest is shrinking, is because he has open contempt for what the American public want. He's going to sell you a corporatist, crony capitalist agenda of open borders and global control. And he doesn't care whether you agree with that or not. And he thinks you're going to fall for it. He thinks we're back in the days when Walter Cronkite and a few people could control American public opinion. That isn't the case. That will not be the case as long as we have a free internet. That's why politicians left and right want to control the internet, because that's the way they get control of you again. Now, what Donald Trump said about Islam is, and I want to look at some of the reactions to this. I think what he said was essentially right, even though it was very blunt in the way that he put it. We've had Rand Paul and now Ted Cruz introducing legislation that would put a moratorium on people coming to the country from jihadi organizations until we can vet those people. That is a rational solution to a very dangerous situation. But the way he put it out there, just saying we're going to ban Muslims, people are reading into that what they want. And that's the thing we need to be careful about, that we do not project things onto candidates, as we saw happen with Obama, just because we want to support that particular candidate. But I want to look at some of the reactions to what he had to say. Muhammad Ali, for example, comes back, and of course he's one of the world's most famous Muslims, and he says, this goes against the very tenets of our religion. He says, I believe our political leaders should use their position to bring understanding about the religion of Islam and to clarify that these misguided murders have perverted people's views on what Islam really is. Well, I would say to Muhammad Ali that it is not the responsibility of political leaders to be apologists for Islam. If you have radical Islamists who are creating acts of mass violence, then it is the Islamic leaders who need to speak out against them. And for the most part, what we are hearing is crickets. We're not hearing any condemnation of that from the Islamic leaders. So Muhammad Ali and the rest of you who are supporters of Islam, then tell us what true Islam is. We don't see that. What we see from our perspective is the same as if we had Methodists trying to gun down Baptists in the streets and anybody else, Hindus, Muslims, atheists in the streets. We don't see that with any other religion other than Islam. And so that is a responsibility not for Donald Trump to defend Islam. It is a responsibility for Islam to define itself. It is a responsibility for the peaceful people of Islam to take it over rather than the jihadis. He goes on to say that presidential candidates have alienated many from learning about Islam. No, it is the radical Muslims and their violence that are alienating people, Muhammad Ali. Now, we see residents in Trump Tower, Chicago, say, I wish Donald Trump would shut up. He's going to get us killed. We're going to have an attack from Muslims. Think about that. If they're going to kill you because their religion is criticized, they are the problem. Trump is not the problem. This is the mindset of people who get on the trains to go to the concentration camps, being as obsequious as they can because they don't want to cross their leaders. It is very, very dangerous to have that attitude. But look at this attitude from the UK. The Daily Mail in the UK has pointed out that a legislator there has branded Donald Trump a hate preacher. But even more impressive is the claim that police, quote, fear for their lives, unquote, in radicalized London. In other words, if you criticize them, they will kill you. The police are supposed to stand up to thugs like that. They're not supposed to kowtow to them. They're not supposed to give in to this intolerance. This is what is wrong. It is not tolerance. It is nothing but cowardice. Why are people concerned about it? Let's understand what this looks like. Let's look at a country, our closest ally, Saudi Arabia. Let's look at what an Islamic theocracy looks like, because that's what the goal of Islam has been since the time of Muhammad. It has been a combination of religion and politics to establish a global governance. 16 things that can get you executed in Saudi Arabia. And as you go down this, you've got some of the things. Okay, murder, rape, adultery. Adultery? Wait a minute. That's a capital offense? Get you beheaded there? Treason, consensual sex with a gay, consensual gay sex. Arson, robbery, burglary, drug distribution, a capital offense? Get you beheaded? Drug prohibition. Now, here we get into the theocracy part of it. Apostasy can get your head cut off in Saudi Arabia, our close ally. Consumption of intoxicants, sorcery, and witchcraft. This is what we have to look forward to as we surrender our culture to Islam, as we open up our borders, as Jeb Bush, Hillary Clinton, and the rest of the GOP and Democrat field pretty much want us to do. This is why voters are rejecting them. It is why they are embracing Trump. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Now, as we went to break, we were talking about 16 things that could get you executed in our ally, Saudi Arabia's country, the Sharia law that they have there, things like consensual gay sex, apostasy, having consumption of intoxicants. But of course, those are just a few of the things that they will cut your head off for and that benevolent ally of ours, Saudi Arabia. We just saw this last fall, 28 Muslims who were beheaded by the Saudi government, blamed for the stampede that they have about every other year as part of the religious ceremonies that they have there in Mecca. They have frequently had stampedes where hundreds of people are killed. This year it was particularly high. 1,300 people died. So they blamed it on 28 Muslims, they said, did not follow the rules, and they cut their heads off, because, quite frankly, that kind of sums it up. You don't follow the rules in Saudi Arabia, you get your head cut off. This year, they're already at 150, the highest that they've had in two decades. They're talking about how they're going to behead another 50 on a single day, people that they have accused of terrorism, but who in reality are simply a political opposition party, the Shiites. These are not people, for the most part, these are people who are protesting. These are people that they're trying to shut down any freedom of speech. You understand how that goes. You understand how the label of terrorism is thrown around. But of course, in America, we have people in Chicago at the Trump Tower saying, don't criticize the Muslims. They're dangerous. You have people in the UK, politicians and the police, cowering in fear before the Muslims because they are afraid that they're going to enact violence against them. But in America, the voters like Trump's proposed Muslim ban. We see that 66% of likely Republican voters favored a temporary ban on Muslims entering the United States. 46% of all voters favored that versus 40% who opposed that. 59% of voters believe that it is too easy for foreigners to legally enter the United States. It's a winning position, but it is a position that is opposed by all the mainstream candidates for some reason. For example, Paul Ryan, the new Speaker of the House, came out and criticized Donald Trump in very strong terms. He says that is not what this party stands for. More importantly, it is not what this country stands for. Yes, what they stand for is open borders and throwing away the safety that they promise you. They're always taking your liberties, promising you safety, except they could care less when it comes to this. And now we see that the Congress itself is considering easing passage in the United States for immigrants. They say that many have called this an unprecedented right that would allow immigrants easier access to relocate into the United States. This is being offered by Senator Patrick Leahy. It's an amendment that would prohibit the U.S. government from barring any individual from entering the country based on their religion. And again, as I pointed out, and as we were just talking about with Saudi Arabia, Islam is not simply a religion. It is a combination of religion and politics. That's what makes it so dangerous. That was what was bad about Christianity, was when it was combined with politics. That's when different religious sects within Christianity were executing each other. It's that combination of trying to dominate someone politically and combining that with the passion of religion. But going on with this, they point out this amendment to say, no, we're going to make it easier for immigrants to come into the United States. We're going to fly them in. We're not even going to have them try to sneak in through Central and South America. We're going to fly them in, and we're going to lower the barriers. They say this is an attempt as a response to Trump's statement. Now, this is what one of the people analyzes, and I think it's a very good analysis. They said this amendment will establish the progressive goal of creating a right to global immigration. Their solution to global income inequality. Now, as Rand Paul has pointed out, there is no right to become an American citizen. There is no right. In order to establish, though, this right that the progressives want to establish, and in that I would include people like Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and others who are pro-open borders, when they want to establish this right to come in and live in America, what they do is they destroy the rights of the people who are already citizens here. And they point out it would mean that you could not favor a Christian Syrian priest over a fundamentalist Muslim cleric, that if you denied the cleric, you'd be paving the road to them having standing in order to sue for entry from a foreign country. A radical imam could demand the right for a tourist visa to deliver a speech, or that a member of a pagan cult could demand that they be given a foreign worker visa to take an American job. Well, quite frankly, that's what the open borders are about. That's what the Democrats are selling us. They're saying that other people can demand the right to take your job. They can demand that you educate them for free. So the response to the proposal that we need to know who's coming into our country because there are jihadis operating in these countries, the response from Congress is, let's make it easier. The response from the leader of the GOP is, that's un-American. And of course, the response from the White House was, that disqualifies Donald Trump for running for president. Rand Paul, however, backs up Trump and points out there's 10 things that make Obama unqualified for president. Let's run through those real quickly. He points out, number one, he tried to take over a sixth of the economy in Obamacare. He wrecked the system. He hurt patients and taxpayers. Number two, Obama thinks executive order is legislation. He thinks it's how you make law. Number three, Obama fought an undeclared unconstitutional war in Libya, turned it into a jihadist wonderland. Number four, fighting an undeclared unconstitutional war in Syria and trying to put ISIS in Damascus. That should disqualify Obama from being president, Paul points out. Paul goes on to say, Obama signed into law the indefinite detention of American citizens. That was the NDAA, which was signed on New Year's Eve, 2011. Number six, his copy of the Bill of Rights obviously goes from 1 to 3, skipping the Second Amendment. No, I would say that Obama's version of the Bill of Rights has redacted every one of the Bill of Rights. Every single one of them is crossed out. Number seven, Rand says Obama is disqualified because the federal appeals court has ruled his NSA spying on every American was illegal. Number eight, Obama has added more debt than anyone in history. Number nine, Obama approved an attorney general who thinks speech against Muslims is a bigger threat than terrorism. Number 10, Obama's EPA rules by executive fiat, trying to kill an entire American industry and a way of life. And of course, we could add to that his imprisonment of whistleblowers is coming after more whistleblowers than anyone since 1917. And of course, his drone assassination program. But of course, the Supreme Court doesn't have a problem with Obama's drone assassination program. A couple of days ago, we reported on Infowars.com that the Supreme Court said Obama can continue assassination program in secret, even against Americans. The New York Times and the American Civil Liberties Union has been fighting for the release of memos from the federal government that would talk about their internal discussions about the legality of killing not only Anwar al-Awlaki, but later his 16-year-old son by drone assassination. And of course, the assassination list is called the disposition matrix. They don't even call it a list. Think about the fact that we have a president who has an assassination list. He also has a no-fly list. Now, the no-fly list, I think we really ought to start calling it the no-trial list. We could call the assassination list the same thing, because that's what these are. These are putting people on a list to kill them, to take away their rights to move about, to take away their rights to own firearms. That's what he's proposing now. You never know how you got on that list. You don't even know you're on that list. You're not confronted with your accusers. You don't have a chance to contest this in court. Due process under the Sixth Amendment is completely suspended under these lists that Obama has been creating. And yet, the Supreme Court doesn't have a problem with the Sixth Amendment and due process being completely eviscerated to the point of assassinating American citizens, because that's precisely what happened with Anwar al-Awlaki. So this appeals court has now said that they're not going to allow these memos to be released. The ACLU says, we strongly disagree that these crucial legal memos can lawfully be kept secret. In a democracy, there should be no room for secret law, and the courts should not play a role in perpetuating it. There should not be any room for secret trials, secret capital punishment either in a democracy. That is fundamentally what is wrong with our society, and we're not going to get any help from the courts in that. Stay with us when we come back. Rob Dew and our political analyst Richard Reeves are going to talk about how the major political parties rigged the system. We'll be right back.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Vote for Jeb, or you're just fucking stupid.
Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat, because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple of years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Deuce, sitting in on these last two segments. And the guy sitting next to me basically is instrumental in getting Roger Stone and Donald Trump onto the Alex Jones show. That's Richard Reeves. He's been a longtime employee of InfoWars. And we're going to be sending him out on the road to do some political correspondence in these Republican primaries and Democratic primaries and caucuses that are going to be happening in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. Those are the big three that kind of set the tone for this. But what we're going to be discussing today is how the Democrats have actually infiltrated the Republican Party, and they're going to be stealing this Republican nomination away from Donald Trump for Jeb Bush. And Richard's going to be explaining how they're going to do that.
Well, Rob, thank you for having me on. And the Democrats, via the New World Order, definitely have a plan on how they're going to try to steal this election. They've adjusted primary dates. They've adjusted the way the delegates are proportioned. In some states, winner take all. In some states, they're proportional. So we're really going to be having to watch for the dirty tricks by the GOP and the RNC. So we are really going to have to be on our toes.
And we saw this on the last two primary seasons with Ron Paul just basically getting Iowa stolen from him. Like it was Rick Santorum in the last election where he suddenly came up with this fairy dust money to just blitz the area and kind of steal that. And then he disappeared. That's just right. A ringer. He was thrown in there to take away the momentum from Ron Paul. So then no one could give him legitimacy. Kind of what they're doing with Trump. Trump is an outsider compared to the rest of the GOP establishment, and they are afraid of him.
That's right, Rob. And even prior to that, 2008 with Huckabee, that was a total disaster.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, now we can watch for the dirty tricks to be coming in. The Republicans are dead set on making sure that Donald Trump does not get this nomination. And by that, I mean the Republican establishment, along with the Democrats that have infiltrated the party. It's going to be really tricky to do this. And what it was ultimately with this, what's called the splitter strategy, mm-hmm. is we had the Republicans gather up at some point in the past, and they had a huddle, and they decided, you know what, Jeb Bush is going to be our nominee for 2016. How do we get that done? So what they looked at is the splitter strategy. We all know that one of the mottos of the New World Order is divide and conquer.
Right.
So what they did is they came up with all these candidates. That's why you have Jeb Bush. That's why you have Marco Rubio. That's why you have Santorum and Kasich. And
Kasich is basically a hitman.
That's
He's
right.
just brought in to just hit Trump constantly. No substance to his attacks. He's basically worthless in the polls. I mean, he's polling at like 1% maybe.
That's
and
right.
That's so, his only job. But he's still in it.
So for the GOP, he sits there and he's got plenty of money. He's well funded. But he can sit there and hit the barbed wire for the GOP and keep attacking Trump like a chihuahua.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, he's a World War I barbed wire guy. He just jumps on it and lets everybody else run over top of him.
There you go. So that's it. So they came up with the splitter strategy, but their splitter strategy didn't take into account Donald Trump.
That's true.
And that's the thing. The splitter strategy before Donald Trump was that they would get Jeb Bush, Rick Santorum, they would get Jindal, they didn't mind even Ted Cruz and Rand Paul stepping in there, because what they would do is bring in more candidates like Huckabee,
mm-hmm.
like we talked
Santorum.
About earlier, Santorum, to split their support, because they did a lot of polling. I remember getting a polling call back in 2006 during a governor's race here in Texas, I got a call, a polling call. Would you like to see Jeb Bush as president? That was back in 2006. That's 9 years ago, folks. So that's how long the Jeb Bush being the nominee of the Republican Party in 2016 has been in the works, because I got that call and so did a friend of mine, and it was unbelievable. So what they have done is since 2012, 2013, 2014, the Republican Party with the Democrats and the NWO have conspired to set up the splitter strategy, where every time Ted Cruz gets in or Rand Paul gets in, Jeb Bush gets in, what they do is, all right, what other outside candidate that's with us, with the GOP establishment, what other candidates can we bring in to help fracture and split those votes? Because they know, bottom line, all the support that Jeb Bush can generate is between 15 and 20% of the electorate. So they actually devised a way, by manipulating the way the primaries fall, the way the primary dates fall, the way the delegates are proportioned, or winner take all, the way that works, they've done all that to rig it so that Jeb Bush could have won with 15 to 25% of the electorate support. That's
and,
all.
And they made these rule changes, what, back in 2012?
They started looking at those rules back in 2012 during the RNC convention back then. Many people know about how Ron Paul got ripped off back in the 2012 election. They made those rule changes back then, and they also kept modifying and tinkering and tweaking like a sculpture, carefully chipping away. All right, how can we set it up? We know Jeb Bush can only get 15 to 25% of the electorate to vote for him and come and support him in the delegate race. So we got to rig it to where he can still beat everybody by fracturing the vote. So that's what they've done. And that's, like I said, that's before they figured and calculated how Donald Trump was going to step in.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. And we saw this. I was a delegate, I think, in the 2012 election, and I went in, and there were several people who were, you know, pro-Ron Paul people. You could tell, you know, by the way they didn't dress like the typical Republican. They look like just, you know, normal people, not this uppity type that you see in some of these rhino Republicans. But there were just enough rhinos in there to keep any dissenting voice quiet and silent. And that's what they do. They rig these with their own operatives. How do they do that?
Well, it's pretty simple, because what happens in the primaries, and I think it's going to be highly different this time, which is very exciting, that we are probably going to see more people vote in the Republican primary than we've had in many, many years. So it's very exciting to see that what's happened in the past actually has been that only a small percentage of the electorate turns out for the Republican primaries. And what that electorate that does come out and participate are the rhino factions of the Republican Party. People that have something to gain. They might be part of the military industrial complex. They might be part of the financial industrial complex. They might be part of big pharma. And so, you know, that's how they come in. That's how they come in and vote in these primaries and get these rhino candidates. That's how we get a John McCain in 2008. That's how we get a Mitt Romney in 2012, is because these establishment party people show up. They show up to vote, and they show up in their precinct conventions and caucuses.
Right. And so you've been participating in this since, what, 2008 in the caucus precinct delegate area?
That's right. Here in Texas, it's a precinct convention delegate process. In Iowa, they do have the caucuses. But here in Texas, the first one I ever went. Well, see, that's another thing. That's top secret. You know, I didn't even know about precinct conventions, caucuses, et cetera, till 2006. I was know, almost like 50
years old. You think
old.
It's just an election and they count the votes and then that's not how it works.
I think it's all just popular votes.
Yeah.
No. We've got to get upstream to these processes within the parties, because that's where the candidates come from. This is not just about Donald Trump. This is not just about the presidential candidates. This is way, way bigger than that. If we go upstream of the voting process, of the primary process, the way the votes are counted there, and if we go upstream of the general election process, we go up to the headwaters of the political process. That's where the candidates spawn from. That's where they come from. So what we need to do is be looking at that, because that, ironically, it only takes a 2 or 3% minority of people to run that operation. And then all of a sudden, all these candidates, the headwaters where they spawn from, et cetera, then
it dries up
and a whole new slate of candidates. You know, people talk about black box voting and the fraud involved in that, which is absolutely true. We know about all that. We know that there's fraud at so many levels in our government.
Happened in Florida when Jeb was governor.
There you go, the hanging chad election. So it just never ends how much fraud we find within the government and the New World Order and Democrat Republican Party. So getting up to those headwaters, though, where these candidates come from, slowly but surely, we're seeing better candidates arise. We used to have one guy in the House that was liberty and freedom-minded, and that was Ron Paul. But now we've got the Freedom Liberty Coalition in the House that consists of, you know, about 20 or 30 people, 20 or 30 members in the House.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a long way from one.
You know, we could double that in an election.
We could, you know, in this primary, that is actually, to me, the most exciting facet of this whole thing right now is that we could see Republican rhino incumbents, the John Boehners in the Republican Party, the Paul Ryans in the Republican Party. They may not make it out of their primaries. I'm really looking forward to that, because you can see if you add up Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Fiorina, perceived outside candidates. Mm-hmm. We know they're not all outsiders, but if you add up all these perceived outside candidates, Ben Carson, et cetera, that right now, if you add up those polls, anybody can do it all day long, 70%.
Right.
70% of the Republican voters are ready to do
that. They're ready for a real change.
They're ready.
Stay right there. We got to go to break real quick. And when we come back, you were telling me some other stuff, some news that if Donald Trump does win the nomination, the massive dirty tricks that are going to befall poor Hillary in order to do an end around to try to get rid of Trump in the general election. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back. We've got some, this is just an amazing interview going over all this information. It may seem kind of boring, this delegate process, but if you get involved, it really is fascinating to see how the gears of our government works and how you can participate out there. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosyl cobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Welcome back to the final segment of the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Deuce. Sitting next to me is Richard Reeves. He is our, I guess you could say, our political operative of the bunch. He's been involved in the political process since 2008, even before that, when Ross Perot was running. And we saw what happened when Ross Perot ran. Everybody liked his ideas, but he didn't quite, by getting out of the race and getting back in, he lost that momentum, which led to a Bill Clinton election in 8 years of Bill Clinton. We could even see the same thing if they're able to get Trump out of the nomination process for the Republican Party. He runs independent, and there's just not enough support there for people wanting to jump ship out of the Democrat or Rhino, two-party system. And so we get a Hillary Clinton or a Jeb Bush. I mean, either way, we're going to lose with that. But getting back, you were talking about the splitter strategy, how they've saturated the field, but they didn't count on Trump coming in, right?
That's right. They didn't count on Trump. And to back up what you said a minute ago, talking about Ross Perot, this is very important. This is very key. This is why third-party efforts are a negative thing. The Democrat and Republican parties, with the help of the NWO and all their money and their financiers, has totally rigged the electorate system, okay? It's why a third party has almost zero chance, almost zero chance. The Democrat Party, Republican Party, they have worked together and conspired at every state to make it almost impossible to even access the ballot. So getting on a third party race. And another thing.
And then you can't even get in the debates if you get on the
ballots. You can't even get in the debates. Yeah. And even worse than that, right now, if for some reason Donald Trump had to jump ship and run independent, it would be kind of a disaster for us because, as I was talking about earlier, we're looking at potentially flushing a lot of these rhino incumbents down the tubes. Well, if all of a sudden those people that were going to vote in the primaries for Donald Trump abandon ship and go third party, then all of a sudden we get the same rhinos, the same entrenched establishment Republicans, the same entrenched establishment Democrats. Talk about a disaster.
Right.
That's New World Order.
And
way
I mean,
dream.
Face it, the presidency is basically a figurehead position. Even if Trump gets in, I don't think he'll really do much other than disrupt the agenda that's already been programmed in. So it would be good to see that. But, you know, getting into that process, the delegate process is not sexy. It takes you getting up off your couch. It takes you actually getting into the game, getting into the arena, not just bitching about things online or on Twitter. You know, you have to actually get up and go physically to some place to be counted. But by doing that, you can disrupt the system.
Absolutely. Just by showing up, we can disrupt the system because a tireless minority can win. We've heard that
with a cell phone camera. So if you see something going wrong, you can tape it and get it on YouTube. And
you know what? In this cycle, it may not even be necessary. Yeah, great. Bring your cell phone camera. Bring your smartphone camera. But it may not be necessary because we have the numbers, folks. I've been a political watcher and operative back since even 92, before 92. I knew about the New World Order back in the 90s, late 80s. So us just showing up. Folks, we've never had such a huge opportunity. We have the numbers and showing up. And what you need to do is each state is different. When it comes to the delegate process, each state is different. The convention process is different in each state. For example, one potential disaster we might have already had in this is December 10th. December 10th, just 2 or 3 days ago, was the last day for potential delegates in Tennessee to file their necessary paperwork to even have a chance of being a delegate. So bottom line is, wherever you are, whether you're in Alaska, Florida, the U.S. territories,
actually,
et cetera,
December 10th today. So you could.
Well, there you go. So today, December 10th. So what folks need to do is to
find out the rules.
Go on the internet and search the rules for your state. And by all means, get registered to vote, vote in your primary, attend your caucus. And if it's a primary election, go to your precinct convention.
So the keyword, Republican delegate rules, and then the state you live in. And then from there, follow the rules. And that's the thing. They make all these rules to keep people out of the system because regular people really just want to go along with their lives and, you know, hope things are going to get better. But you really have to get involved like these, you know, entrenched Democratic operatives and these rhinos are. You have to get into that. You just have to show up. That's really all it takes.
That's
showing
it.
Up and going, hey, I'm not for whatever you guys are for.
Right. Well, this is like Ted Nugent says, we have met the enemy and the enemy is us, staring us in the mirror. Apathy. Our own apathy is the reason that we are in danger and on the precipice of losing our country, folks. So we've got to give up on the apathy and just get up off the sofa and, like Joe Biggs says, put down your Cheetos and just get active.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. So what are the other ways that they're doing this aside from, you know, stacking the deck against specific candidates or, you know, even infiltrating the process? What other dirty tricks are they going to try to pull on in this Republican primary season?
Well, it's like I texted Roger Stone this morning. I said, Roger, I believe that the GOP establishment, NWO party, they're not only going to violate and break rules, they're going to break laws and they're going to break heads, I think. Very possible. So we need to be prepared for that. And, you know, thankfully, the take back of our republic, of our government, has been peaceful. We haven't had to suffer blood, bayonets, and bullets yet. But hopefully it never gets to that.
And we don't want it to get to that.
And we don't want it to get to that. That's why we have to take advantage of this process. That it's a perfect opening. We get to the headwaters of the election process. This is not just about the presidential election, as we stated earlier. This is about everything from, ultimately, it ends up being everything from dog catcher to the president. All these races are impacted by what goes on in this process.
There you go. And by, I think, participating in the delegate process, it's going to get more people interested in local politics and their state politics. That's where you're going to see the real power and be able to really make changes. And so we can stand up to the national government, right? Like right now they have a bill, in the Congress to make everybody, get vaccines, a childhood national vaccination program to get rid of the philosophical exemptions, to get rid of the just the personal belief exemptions, religious exemptions, everything. Just get rid of it and say everybody has to take it no matter what your state says. This is going to try to circumvent state law. So we have to have strong states, strong communities, so we can stand up to this giant behemoth, this federal government, when they come after us.
What we know is the NWO attacks us from every possible angle. We get attacked by a 360-degree angle every way. And, you know, you were asking about dirty tricks a minute ago and mentioned dirty tricks. In 2012, I went to the Texas State Convention. Talk about a dirty trick. They said, okay, Ron Paul is going to speak on the Friday of our Texas State Convention. Everybody, hooray, yay, yay, Ron Paul is going to speak. Okay, and so I was on the Bilderberg tour with Alex. We came back in town. I got to the convention a day late, just in time to hear Ron Paul speaking at the convention. But then later on, I found out the dirty trick of that, folks. The dirty trick was, is that during the time that Ron Paul was speaking to that convention and had most of Ron Paul people there to listen, they had senatorial district caucuses where they elected all the members to the state Republican Party.
They elect all the yes men, essentially, to come in and just go, Romney.
We weren't even there, folks. We didn't show up. So that's the kind of dirty tricks that we have to watch out for. What we have to understand, you know how Obama talked about ISIS being the JV team or whatever? Well, you know what? In 2008, 2012, the Patriots, Liberty Seekers were the JV team. And right now we need to graduate from JV team to professional political team. So folks everywhere need to be wising up and reading up about how all of this works from stem to stern.
I totally agree. And there's no better time than now to get involved. I mean, Trump really has, if nothing else, he's galvanized a lot of people, gotten energized, I think, a lot of people as well, just by getting up and saying, hey, we got to do something about the border. We got to do something about people coming in and not vetting them properly. We got to, you know, I don't really like the things where he says we're going to start waterboarding people and taking rights away and not letting people speak. And we got to look at the internet more. They've done all that. It doesn't work.
That's right.
You know, we gave the NSA carte blanche for years since 9/11, and they still haven't stopped the terror plot. They haven't done a thing.
And then remember, as long as we get good people in the House, good people in the Senate, hey, we can relax on, okay, if we get a bad president, we can still overcome.
Right.
And earlier, as we were signing off on the first break, we were talking about how we've got potential bombshell inside information.
That's right. Yeah.
So
if Trump does win the nomination, what are they going to pull?
If it looks like Trump is going to win the nomination, folks, then the scuttlebutt is the inside track rumor from sources that we have are that Barack Obama will either indict and or arrest Hillary Clinton right around the time of the Democratic National Convention, right about the time of the DNC. And that what they will do is they will trot in Joe Biden, who is no better than Hillary. We all know that. But they somehow, the powers to be seem to think that Joe Biden could potentially beat Donald Trump. And Joe Biden will have unlimited funds, just as Hillary would as a nominee. So watch for that.
Literally yank the lesbian witch out with a hook and install creepy Uncle Joe.
I mean,
you look at any of those people. I mean, just totally worthless as humans. Have no care at all for this country at all. Just want to drive us into the ground, spit us out, use us, our energy, just pull everything against us. We got to do something. So get involved in your political process out there. There's no better time than now. Find out what the rules are, because by the time these elections start up, it may be too late to get involved.
Absolutely.
So with that, we're signing off. Get this information out to people you know. We're going to put links here for some information for you to check out. Thanks for watching the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central. And that's all we got.
Thank you
for joining us, Richard.
Thank you.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.